Hello, podcast people, and welcome to another Quiet Mind podcast. I am Robert, your host, and I'm broadcasting from the vortex capital of the world, Sedona, Arizona. If you want to know what those are, come and visit. That's all I've got to say about that. Now, I just wanted to say thank you to all of you that have supported the podcast through the years with your donations and your kind reviews and sharing the podcast with people that you love. Thank you so much. So here's the story. Yesterday, I was shopping at the Whole Paycheck, and after I loaded all my stuff into the back of Daisy Lou the minivan, I was walking my cart back to the front of the store. And I don't know, I guess here in the Americas, this is some sort of measure of your manliness in some circles, you know, returning your cart to the front of the store, but I digress anyway. There was a time, and this is why I do it, where I used to do that for a living. I bagged groceries, I worked at a grocery store. I really loved the job. I collected carts. And back in my day, we took your groceries out to the car and put them in your vehicle. I'm not saying that was a better time and those were better things. It was just the way it was done. Anyway, you know how I like to go off topic. But the point is, I'm taking my cart back. And I hear you, get on with the point, Robert. I get the cart almost back in its place. And suddenly, I stop and I freeze in my tracks. I had what I call the great pause. Kind of like a deer in the headlights, I froze, stood right there like a statue with one hand on the cart. It was really strange. I kind of fell into just watching my breath. And then I realized my mind had been on the attack on a somewhat unconscious or what others would call a subconscious level. And it was saying some pretty nasty stuff to me. I don't remember exactly what the little demon was reporting, but it wasn't what you would call nice. I think it may have been grumbling about the quote-unquote others, meaning the other people that were at the store during my shopping excursion that were not being nice. It said that, you know, the others had no feelings about me as they pushed their cart around and kind of cut me off or were nasty or inconsiderate. And by this time, I could kind of taste this sourness actually rising in my mouth. It was very strange. So I spit it out, so to speak. I had the great pause, meaning I caught the mind going into an old pattern before it could really wreak havoc and create a bad mood or anxiety, just ill feelings. As I paused, I caught the voice. Just as I kind of caught the nasty voice, I remember I would breathe in a little bit more, exhaling. This calm voice popped into the mix and it said, "You don't have to pay attention to that voice in your head." And I think that that voice, or I know that voice, was referring to the nasty commentator up there in my mind. Just as that happened, that nasty train of thought was just eradicated. It just stopped. I can only attribute this to being observant of the mind and its little tricks. And in a flash, it kind of recovers from itself. And the line of thinking is diverted from that old pattern, and it's popped into a new mind groove that is neutral to all arising phenomena. But I wouldn't call myself an expert on the great pause because I still screw up and fail into that old pattern, and I indulge the evil speak of the lizard brain. It's very slowly we rewrite the brain. That's what I think happens. We fall into different patterns, and those different patterns are like this new pattern that I'm sharing with you, and that pattern of, I don't have to listen to that voice. I can just listen to nothing, listen to the silence in my mind. Of course, this takes time. When we notice we've avoided the old ways of thinking, it's good, and it's a good idea to acknowledge that occurrence, not boast or brag about it, but just give it a small nod of recognition. In other words, you know, I paused, I caught myself before I got down into that nasty rabbit hole of negative thinking, whatever you want to call the thoughts. And I wonder if this actually breaks the rule of the mind that created the problem actually has solved the problem, instead of the old phrase that we hear that the mind that created the problem can't solve the problem, as I've said many times before. What's interesting is we have used kind of a conceptual thought to combat the subliminal thought. And if so, is that overworking the issue? So I want to read you a quote from a book that I'm reading right now. It's a translation of an old Chinese text that dates back to around 800 something. The translation is by John Blofeld, and the original text is by Huang Po, who was a Chinese Chan Zen master. So here's the quote. If you can only rid yourself of conceptual thought, you have accomplished everything. A tall order indeed, and some would say impossible. In the case of the Great Pause, am I using conceptual thought to rid myself of conceptual thought or unconscious thought? So what is the difference between all those? What is conceptual thought? Okay, so coming from the old interwebs, conceptual thinking is analyzing hypothetical situations, patterns, and or abstract concepts to formulate connections and new insights. It's focused on taking a step back to see the bigger picture at hand, drawing connections between the different aspects of a situation and seeing the whole. So it's puzzle solving, like normal brain stuff. It's what we do. That's how our mind works. What's then what I would construe as a subconscious or an unconscious voice in my head? Or, you know, what we might call the internal monologue. The internal monologue, when we refer to that, it's the internal voice as your inner dialogue, self-talk, internal speech, stream of consciousness, an internal monologue in the voice inside your head that you can hear when you think. Once again, grabbed off probably Wikipedia. Now, some lucky folks out there, maybe, don't have an internal monologue. They have no voice inside their heads. For the rest of us, this voice can be self-deprecating, judgmental, vicious, invasive, destructive, hateful, and angry. And I'm talking to me and the rest of us here that have that kind of destructive inner voice and want to change the way they perceive, interact, and detach from that voice, that thinking. Here's how I see the subconscious mind. I think it can be seen as an autopilot system during repetitive tasks like tying your shoes or even driving your car. A little snippet here from the interweb is this can be explained as operating or existing outside of consciousness. And Carl Jung said that since there is a limit to what can be held in conscious focal awareness, an alternative storehouse of one's knowledge and prior experience is needed. We know this. It's all coming from the brain. Here's what our friends at Wikipedia says. The unconscious mind, or the unconsciousness, consists of processes in the mind that occur automatically and are not available to introspection. Although these processes exist beneath the surface of conscious awareness, they are thought to exert an effect on conscious thought processes and behavior. Empirical evidence suggests that unconscious phenomena include repressed feelings and desires, memories, automatic skills, subliminal perceptions, and automatic reactions. Now, before this gets too deep and beyond my skill set, I can truthfully report that I've observed from myself inside, uncontrolled spontaneous thoughts do arise in my mind. And they are seemingly to me kind of pre-programmed. And I think some of it stems from being a victim of bullying in the past. I'm not a psychologist, you know, remember this, everybody. I'm just a guy on the internet, just sharing my thoughts and feelings with you all. But I can also attest to the fact that I've been bullied most of my life by the bully that lives in my head. And, you know, well, maybe not the biggest bully ever, but definitely a contender for the longest bully on record lives in my mind rent-free. I want to remind myself of this process. And that's why I'm talking to you right now. I want to remind myself of this process and acknowledge that I saw what happened. And this podcast is my vehicle for reminding myself. It's an extra bonus that I get to share it with other like-minded folks that are also on the path of no path. This is my place where you might call it would be a audio diary, so to speak. And I do go back and listen to my old podcasts. And yes, I have gotten used to hearing my own voice, which was very strange at the beginning. Anyway, there I go again. When I noticed the voice that was criticizing the fellow shoppers for not being nice, in that instant of noticing, the voice shut off. This to me is the remarkable thing. As soon as I noticed, it shut off. And there was space. And I remember holding the cart and I was just noticing my breath. I felt like I was meditating. And that gave the little voice a space to pop in and say, you know, you don't have to pay attention to that voice. After that, I remember just standing there near the carts and I was breathing in and out slowly, being aware of my breath and the silent space in my mind. And I was relaxed. I felt a sense of release and just well-being. And it was a beautiful day. The sun was out. And suddenly those thoughts or that train of thinking was gone. And I wouldn't call this a voice of positive affirmation. Sometimes I'm still at odds with that concept because as a youngster, I listened to a lot of audio tapes about the power of positive thinking. And I'm critical of it. I don't say that it doesn't work. I'm just a little critical of it. What I would call it was meditating in the real world. Meditating off my cushion. The practice had somehow seeped into the real world, quote unquote. It felt like I was, you know, back here in my little hut where I'm at right now, sitting on my cushion, observing the arising and falling of the thoughts in my mind. And it happened in real life. Now, of course, this has happened many times. I'm sure it's happened for you where you may have a strange flashback to your meditation cushion while you're out in the real world. And I just wanted to acknowledge that to you. Yes. Wow. When that happens, that's quite interesting. There was an acceptance of everything. Just an acceptance of what was so, including the rising of all that weird talk. It seemed like it was just my mind observing my mind and not really getting involved or critiquing or puzzling out or trying to counter the thought or stop or push against those thoughts with positive thoughts like, you know, really all people are lovely and essentially good, or, you know, I'm calm and safe. I didn't try to counterattack the invisible mind demon, those forces, and push against it with positive affirmations or positive thinking. I just became aware of the thoughts and they simply dissipated on their own, like that. My body relaxed, tuned into my breathing. I heard the soft, still voice reassuring me that I didn't have to pay attention to that voice. And this all happened in a matter of seconds. It may have been like a split second. I have no idea. What I want to share is years ago, this was my dominant type of thinking. That's why I'm making such a big deal out of this. It was critical. It was harsh. It was judgmental. It was divisive. And, you know, at times it was venomous in its judgment of the others. Had I somehow made a change after all these years of meditation? Am I different now? I would say that in some odd and unexplainable way, those traits have diminished over time. Those traits of being harshly judgmental, critical, divisive, they have diminished. And it's a strange thing because the reason I'm reporting it here is because you don't really notice that that's happened. You don't really notice the change that has occurred in this unconscious level. In other words, though the unconscious mind was what seemed to have surfaced with all of this negative talk, at the same time, was it that unconscious that came in and observed, paused with the great pause, caught itself and decided to do a 360-degree turnabout and not pay any attention to that voice. I don't know. But I do know the traits have diminished over time, that tendency to fall into that type of thinking is getting smaller and smaller over time. So I'm thankful for that. I see it as a blessing. For today, I'm really honored that I could share this with you. I hope it helps you in your day-to-day. I would love to hear from you. Anytime you can contact me at aquietmind@gmail.com. Talk to you soon. Thanks for listening.